Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real with Beth and Darren.
Good morning, everyone.
So it's Monday. You know what that means.
I know what it means here. It means that there's another day of no school. I know that's what it means when we get a phone call this time. Well, thank God they let us sleep a little bit later this morning instead of getting 5 o'clock. I think we got it at 5:45 today. The notice, the phone call, the robocall from superintendent saying schools are closed today. I'm still trying to figure out why. I think it's because the roads are kind of icy, but there's certainly not any snow, right?
No. They said there's going to be freezing rain, and then it's going to turn to snow.
The third Monday in a row.
Where they've canceled school.
Actually, it's the third Monday in a row where they've canceled school. It's the fourth Monday in a row where there has not been any school. So going back to Martin Luther King Day. And now three consecutive Mondays following Martin Luther King Day means that there's been no school for these kids. How do I know that as well? It's because the programs that we run on Mondays for A-game sport
keep getting canceled
because of this weather. I am beyond frustrated, I have to tell you.
I don't blame you.
But, you know, on a positive note, our Temple basketball team won a basketball game yesterday. On our third game, so we're now 3-7. And I felt like after we got a win, it was like a scene from the Silver Linings playbook movie, because remember in the scene when they're dancing and they got a 5 on the score, and everybody was jumping up down, like celebrating and looking like, why are you celebrating over a 5? Well, in our case here, us getting that third win means that we actually qualify now for the playoffs, believe it or not.
That's awesome.
So for as bad as we've been during the season, we have a chance to make all that go away getting into the playoffs now, because 3 wins qualifies you. So I was very happy that we were able to get that win. My favorite
was one of the kids was like, hey, we won 10 games this season. And
I basically pulled everybody into the huddle after the game, and I was telling him how proud I was of him and how happy and how much we've accomplished this year. I said, and we've got 3 wins this year, which is more than we had all last year. Now, as a little bit of background, basically the kids that are on this team together basically came from 2 different teams last year. The Temple had 2 different teams last year for the same grade. So there was a little bit of competition between some of the boys, because basically took 2 teams and molded them into 1. So our team, the one I coached last year, we were really bad. The other team that was, the other group of kids, they were also bad. Not as bad as us, but they were bad. So when I pulled all the kids together and said, hey, this is a big accomplishment. You know, we got 3 wins this year. It's more than we had last year. And yet one of the kids said, oh, no, we had a lot. Our group had a lot more wins last year. And I said, really? I said, how many wins do you think you had? Because we were 10-2, 10-3. I looked at him and I said, listen, there's not many things I'm sure of in life, but I know for a fact you had nowhere close to 10 wins. And then he started thinking about it. He says, oh, yeah, that's right. Maybe that was hockey.
Yeah.
So, but no matter what, that's all in the past. Our team won. I'm psyched about that. Be happy for the little things. And now we get to, you know, we still have some regular season games left, but now we get to look forward to the playoffs. So our son is happy too. I mean, it's, like I said, as frustrating as it's been for a season, the little things that we can look forward to.
Well, he scared us yesterday though. He went down.
Yep, our son went down with an injury yesterday. He was writhing in pain for a little bit. Got him up. Put him over on the sideline, smacked him in the face a little bit, and said, get tough! No, I'm just kidding. He was a real trooper. He put some ice on it, and then he was looked at me and said he wanted to go back in. He was ready and fine to go. So
I saw him.
Yep. And
he's a trooper.
So that's it on the basketball front. I wish I could talk about basketball going on for this evening for my program, but unfortunately, like I said before, it's canceled. Because follow whatever the schools are doing, when the schools are closed, the basketball program is unfortunately closed as well. I'm hoping that there might be a possibility of us being able to do something for our baseball program in Yonkers, but I'm not too optimistic about that either, given the road conditions.
Well, in Yonkers is also the road, it's so hilly. is even more treacherous in Yonkers than it is here.
Yes, it is very treacherous in Yonkers. If you've never been to Yonkers, the hills are like San Francisco in Yonkers. They are. That's what it is. Yonkers is very much like San Francisco when it comes to roads.
Except for the Napa Valley part.
It's just like San Francisco.
And the charming little shopping cars.
If we put that aside, Yonkers is very much like San Francisco.
Just like it. That's what I think when I think of Yonkers. I always think of San Francisco.
I don't know. I think our dog is going stir crazy. I think you're absolutely right. And she's been getting very aggressive with her cat Jasper lately. Not aggressive, but she just wants to play.
Yeah.
And this is the usual thing for her. You know, wants to be around other dogs and play. She loves Jasper, our cat, but Jasper just doesn't play the way she plays. You know, Santana plays obviously like a dog, and Jasper likes to to sort of move around slowly, rub up against things like a cat. And I don't think Santana, is able to acknowledge his cues very well. I always compare our dog Santana to the dragon from Shrek.
Donkey and Dragon.
We have Santana, the female here, who is like dragon, and Jasper, our nice looking male cat, who's just like donkey. So Dragon over here has got to be a little bit more gentle with Jasper. Otherwise, I think there's going to be a claw coming her way pretty soon.
Yeah, she's ready.
Like, why are we living in New York? Why? I hate it. Okay, relax.
Yeah, last year at this time, we actually drove down to Florida with her when she was a puppy.
She was great.
Awesome.
She loves road trips.
Yeah.
She does. She loves road trips. You agree. It's good. Okay. Why don't you touch base with our listeners out there about the Grammys? I mean, how many minutes have we been into this without almost going on 8 minutes, and you haven't even talked about the Grammys yet?
I know. Well, the main thing with the Grammys this year, aside from the fact that some of the pairings were amazing, you know, you have like the contemporary artists with like the old timers, and the old timers are like these huge veterans, which was amazing. I loved Annie Lennox with, of course, like, who was she singing with? Oh, like Ed Sheeran. That was pretty cool, right?
Oh.
Or Sam, who was she singing with? Well, Mary J. Blige sang with Sam Smith. What?
Hoser. Yeah,
Hoser.
Yeah, his name is Hoser.
She should have been singing with Ed Sheeran. But anyway, she was great. And then ELO with, who did ELO sing with?
ELO was singing with Ed Sheeran.
Oh, see, that's right.
And
I messed up.
Ed Sheeran and ELO.
And then Lady Gaga with Tony Bennett. That was kind of cool.
Lady Gaga?
Yeah, she sang with Tony Bennett.
They did stuff together before.
Yeah, well, they did like a whole album together. So that was good.
How did that ever happen? Like, Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett, like, how would you ever picture that combination?
It's a crazy combination, but it worked. It totally worked.
Right?
And they were like, he kind of mellowed her out a bit. Then there was Madonna. Not speaking of mellowed out, I was texting back and forth with my high school girlfriends about the whole Madonna outfit thing. And one of them said, I'm talking to my son, and we both are saying, isn't it kind of embarrassing that she's like 56 years old and she's still dressing like that? And I mean, she looked amazing. But it's like after a certain, you know, Annie Lennox was dressed appropriately. Madonna, not so much.
But she
looked amazing. I mean, she looked like she, well, from when she was doing the dance and singing the song.
I think that's what you would call ageism.
Yeah, it is ageism.
I think you were discriminating against her, but I find that offensive.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
Okay, if she's got it.
The interesting thing is that when she was doing the performance, she really looked like she was like still in her 30s. But then when they pan down, because the lighting is amazing on stage, but then when they pan down to the actual seats, you can see that her eyes are like, you know, she's older.
I'm telling you, women are their worst. Are your own worst enemy.
Yes, we are. She looked great. Her performance was good. I don't know about the bull stuff. All right. I was cracking up with Pharrell Williams and the
outfit.
What was that? The best was that I'm on Facebook, and
he was auditioning for Grand Budapest Hotel.
He was wearing a bellhop outfit, but not even with pants. His thing is he wears shorts everywhere. I don't understand why he doesn't wear pants. But somebody on Facebook said, who wore it better, two things, either the male chimp monkey or him. And then another person said, had Hilton Hotels tweeted a photo of one of their bellhops versus him, like which bellhop wore it better. So it was, it's like, you know what? And then what was the other one? Kanye West was wearing a burgundy color sweatsuit, which also was like ridiculous. And somebody else posted who wore it better, and it was George Costanza from Seinfeld.
Who was the woman on the Grammys that came on and started crying about domestic violence?
I have no idea who that person was.
I have no idea who it was either. And I got to tell you, I mean, I think Obama's, you know, little plea there about domestic violence was good, but I really don't like it when the Grammys start, or any of these big events start using that as a, start talking about, you know, causes for stopping domestic violence when they're the biggest culprits of.
Well, they could have panned to like Chris Brown.
Right,
in the
exactly.
Audience.
I really
Chris
not.
Brown,
I find it offensive when they're telling people about doing everything to stop domestic violence, which I agree with is what should be the thing to be doing. But then again, you have these artists who write these songs that talk about, you know, hitting women. You got Chris Brown who actually, right? He hit Rihanna. Who, I don't know what Kanye was. Did Kanye West ever do anything?
I don't think.
Wasn't
he
there? No, there was something with him. Like,
did he?
Right. I thought there was something with him. Like all the people that they should be directing their comments to should be to themselves.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
And the same thing like with the NFL, and they came out with like, you know, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. Yeah, I agree. It's got to stop. It's got to stop with you guys. That's what it's got to stop with.
Well, and I do think that there are plenty of things that the Grammys do in terms of, you know, philanthropy, where they go into schools and they bring music and programs. Like, I'd rather see all the amazing things that they've done. Like, that's a really good thing to show what they're doing it from a positive way to impact the community. But the whole domestic violence thing, I mean, yeah, they could have been talking to Chris Brown and Rihanna.
Right, exactly. Every time they started talking about that, the camera should have panned right over to Chris Brown.
Right.
Every
well,
time.
And speaking of that, I mean, although he hasn't been charged yet with a crime, but supposedly the rumors around, or the situation with Bobby Christina Brown, they're saying that her supposed husband was like not really her husband, but whatever, it's like a weird relationship. He is most likely responsible for her drowning.
So,
I mean, she's
so
still.
What
she's
exactly
not,
happened, or what do you think happened?
Well, what they said was his friend found her in the tub, submerged in the tub, and but then before the police came, this Nick, whatever, Gordon or something, he cleaned up blood stains, so he definitely did something to her, or somebody did something to her, and they're saying that he was in the past, he had some violence, and there's a strong possibility that he actually knocked her out, and that's why he found her. And now she's brain dead. She hasn't passed away yet, but there's no functioning, which is, she's done. I mean, it's so horrible.
We talked about the whole Whitney Houston drama and tragedy with her, and then we also mentioned the daughter a few podcasts ago, didn't we?
Yeah, well, and that was, they didn't know what the story was, if she was going to make it or not make it, but it doesn't look good. So it's very sad, and it's right on the same, her mother passed away right before the Grammys, too, so it's the same.
Hard for me, and I think most normal men, to comprehend or envision any situation where you that much outrage, where you need to inflict some type of physical harm.
But in this situation, not only did he do that, but then submerged her in a tub, and like, I mean, that it's crazy.
It is crazy, but I mean, even forgetting about that part, just to lay a hand on a woman.
Yeah.
It's just incomprehensible.
Well, they were all saying that he was like pushing to get more money from the Whitney Houston estate, and he was making a lot of waves, and Bobby Brown didn't want anything to do with him, and then the Houston side of the family didn't want anything to do with him either. So he was like, I guess he was spiraling out of control, and this is what happened. So now her estate is pretty much going to go to her brothers and to Bobby Brown, like, because it was, you know, over $100 million.
You ever feeling that much anger? You literally just got to go and just walk away, and walk outside, just walk and just get away. I think that's the best thing. That's the best thing you can do. If you ever feel yourself getting that angry over something, right? Just take your stuff, whatever you need to do. Go for a walk outside. I'm not saying go get into a car. It's probably not a good idea to start driving while you're angry. But go and just take a walk and get some air. I mean, I know it sounds easier said than done, but walk away. If you feel yourself with that violent feeling inside of you that wants to lash out, don't let it continue to escalate. Just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's what I do with you.
That's what Beth does to me. Every time she's about to strike me, I can Beth, where are you going? Don't talk to me right
go
now.
Go to
the
White House
black
market. I can't do this anymore. I need out.
On a similar note, since we were talking about how men treat women at times, unfortunately. So I posted something on Facebook yesterday. And again, it's like one of those things, you never know what's going to resonate with people. But I basically said that it's if you have a teenage boy, it's a parental responsibility to make sure that that teenage boy truly knows what it means to respect a girl. And that if you have a teenage girl, you have the same parental responsibility to make sure that girl accepts nothing less than the utmost respect from a boy. And I think a couple people will wonder, well, why did he write that? Did something happen with his daughter? No, nothing happened with our own kids, nothing at all. But we did hear a very disturbing story, which I'm sure happens more than anybody wants to think about, and probably happens in, you know, many other towns besides the one that I'm thinking of right now, from a neighboring town of ours, about a 16-year-old boy? 16-year-old boy who had a girlfriend, had a sexual relationship with this girl, and for whatever reason, I don't know what he was thinking or wasn't thinking, decided to videotape his girlfriend performing a sexual act, and then broke up with the girl and then sent the videotape to all of his friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, the kid was arrested immediately, and then now that they're looking for the anybody who, I guess you said, anybody that responded.
Yeah, that they
said
also
that
they
could be in trouble as well.
Yeah.
You know, when I hear something like that, I get very, very angry, and I don't, and the part that angers me is that some kid out there was going around for some reason in his mind thinking that something like that is okay. Or maybe, I'm not sure he thought it was okay, but how it ever, it just didn't happen overnight that he said, I'm going to videotape my girlfriend, right?
Yeah, well, he broke up with her.
Right, but, no, but I'm
like
saying there had to be past behavior and actions by him that would suggest that he thought something along this lines would be okay. Just didn't wake up and say, one day and say, hey, I'm going to do this. There had to be other behavior that he demonstrated.
Well, I mean, yeah, and nobody...
And where were the... And, right, and given all that, where were the parents in all this in terms of when he was talking about girls he was dating, who he was with, where they were going, you know, what type of relationship he had with his girlfriend. Like, just stuff that you should be asking your kids. I mean, I'm not saying that...
Right, but when it comes to boys, they don't necessarily share what's going on, especially if they're doing stuff that's inappropriate. So they're...
they're not
going to
share it,
And they, you know, the parents could be completely just, you know, they could be nice people that are thinking that their kid is doing nothing wrong.
Guarantee you there was stuff on his cell phone had nothing to do with this beforehand that suggests that the kid was probably a real ass.
Yeah, well,
right?
and now he's
He didn't go from being a good, clean-cut kid to all of a sudden being this, you know, sexual deviant ass.
All hope of college and whatever else.
Oh, I hope so. Because, you know, the girl whoever is involved, I hope her identity remains anonymous and that there's minimal to no damage or, you know, consequences for her in terms of her, you know, how she's feeling and whatever shame she might be feeling, if at all. And hopefully she's fine. Hopefully the boy that did this gets what's coming to him, and it should be swift and it should be severe. That's all I have to say, because I can only imagine what the parents of the girl are probably going through right now. So
yeah, horrible. So and another, like, back to entertainment news.
Back to
entertainment news. Bruce Jenner, man. I mean, first he was like dealing with the whole fact that he's transitioning to be a woman, and then this over the weekend he got in touch with it. I mean, he unfortunately was in a car accident that triggered the death of this poor old woman. It was horrible. Supposedly somebody stopped short. A black Prius stopped short in front of the woman. She's driving a white Lexus. So she rear-ended that car, and at the same time, Bruce Jenner was right behind her, and he hit her car, but the force was so great that it propelled the car into oncoming traffic, and she hit a Hummer, and she died. And the New York Post yesterday had this photo of the woman literally right before she died. It was so scary. Like, it's so scary.
The thing I found out that I didn't realize is that Bruce Jenner grew up originally from Mount Kisco.
Yes, he's a Westchester native, I guess. But I guess he was out a day afterwards in another car speeding or something. I mean, it wasn't necessarily his fault that this happened to this poor woman, but it's terrible. And they said that the Prius stopped 100 yards away from the traffic light. So nobody understands why that car all of a sudden just stopped. And they said it happens to be a street where there are a lot of jaywalkers, so there could have been somebody crossing. And sometimes people literally just go ahead and make a U-turn to find a parking spot, even though their car's right in back of them. So there's no, I don't know if anybody else was a witness that saw what happened, but the woman, unfortunately, you know, wasn't expecting a car to stop short 100 yards before the traffic light, and that triggered this horrific accident. And now a person lost her life.
I'm not clear. So they don't think Bruce Jenner was reckless?
Wasn't that he was reckless. No, what happened was it was like a chain reaction. Okay. The woman hit the Prius because the Prius stopped 100 yards before the traffic light, and she didn't realize the car was stopping, so she hit that car, and then Bruce Jenner hit her because he didn't know that she was about to hit a car too. Like, had no, you know, I guess didn't realize how.
They didn't find any, like, drugs or alcohol.
No. I mean, the only thing they were saying was that there was paparazzi following him, but he wasn't racing anywhere. It was just that he had his truck, and then he was pulling like a trailer or something behind. So they just said the force of his car hitting her car unfortunately propelled her into oncoming traffic, and that's what killed her. So whatever it was in his car, just, it was an accident. It was not anything other than it was a terrible accident, but now he has to, unfortunately,
If he wasn't already going through enough.
If he wasn't already going through enough, like, now he's having to deal with the fact that this poor woman lost her life because of some idiot in a Prius who just stopped 100 yards before the traffic light. And who knows what that person was doing. I mean, I'm sure they have to check that person. I mean, that person could probably get arrested for reckless and, you know, driving, because why would you just stop in the middle of nowhere?
Well, it is amazing when you think about traffic and you think about pileups, when you hear about 20-car, 30-car pileups and how they happen. It really is. It is amazing to see and to think about why they do happen, right? I mean, you would think that cars would be able to see ahead,
right,
as to what's going on and be able to stop in time. But unfortunately, when people are driving, I think there's a lot of what I call hypnotic driving going on. People just have it on a certain speed. They're used to a certain thing. Don't anticipate having to stop or anything. And by the time they do, it's done. I mean, they're driving. They see what's ahead of them and stuff. But they're just so accustomed to going a certain speed. And if they're on a highway or whatever it is and don't expect, like you said, to have to stop or something, they're like, oh, it just doesn't register with them. And before you know it, you got 20 people, you know, colliding into each other.
Yeah, it's scary. It really is. So, unfortunately, that's what Bruce Jenner is dealing with right now. And this woman's family, and she supposedly, I guess, lives in the same gated community as the Kardashians, so she has money.
She lives in the same?
Yeah, she's from Calabasas, California or something.
Calabasas. I've been to Calabasas before.
Oh, you know,
Calabasas used to be the home of Countrywide Mortgage, was based in Calabasas, California. Just a little FYI, Countrywide now is owned by Bank of America. going back to my finance days. I thought I would take you there for a quick second.
Yeah, excellent.
Did we talk? I was just looking at this thing here with a sandwich, grilled sandwich, and then it reminded me of that movie that we were watching the other day.
Oh, wait, Jared's sister took over Subway?
Is Jared
Subway billionaire?
Or is Jared her?
Brad DeLuca has been battling leukemia for nearly 2 years. He's handed the reins to the world's largest restaurant chain to his younger sister. Oh, no, he didn't give it to Jared's younger sister, the owner of Subway. Suzanne Greco, whose official title is still senior vice president, has taken over day-to-day operations. So she's going to run the company.
But that sandwich just made me think of, for whatever reason, the movie Chef.
That we just saw this weekend.
That was very good. I want to watch that from the beginning. I always think of the actor
John Favreau.
I find that very difficult to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, it was a pretty good cast, too. You know, it was a really good...
John Leguizamo.
Yeah,
right.
John Leguizamo, Oliver Platt, Dustin Hoffman, Sophia Vergara.
Sophia Vergara, she annoys me.
All right. She wasn't actually bad, though. I mean, she was kind of like, her role was more like sedate in this one.
A little bit, but it's still, I don't know. It's a retread of the same type of role that she plays. She kind of annoys me.
Yeah, well, but anyway, so that was...
But it was a good movie, though. I liked it. It was very entertaining. I think our son liked it, too.
Well, because his son pretty much puts him on the map. The son is, like, tweeting and getting him all these followers, and he winds up, he has a blow up at his restaurant where he's the chef. And he's screaming at this critic, and it winds up on YouTube, and it costs him his job, and then he can't get a job anywhere else. And his ex-wife keeps trying to convince him that he should start a food truck because that's definitely like a profitable way to go. And he does it. And the son literally like tweets, like wherever they are, and taking pictures and sharing it. And they wind up in New Orleans because he kept telling him he was going to take him there. And the next thing you know, there's like a line outside the food truck and it becomes this huge sensation. So who said you can't start over again? It was an inspiring film, and the fact is he like reconnects with his son and
it was good. It was very
a good kind of movie. It was funny.
They don't get back together though at the end, right? John and
yes,
Sophia.
They do.
Oh, they do get back together. Yeah. Okay, sorry, I lost myself for a second. I forgot that they do. It wasn't really clear but at the end, I was disappointed in the end. I was telling our son I wanted something more. And my son asked me a very good question yesterday in the car ride. He always is making me think. I think he's good. I always like the fact that my son makes me think. It's a very simple question. He asked me what my favorite movie is of all time. Not can't what? You have a favorite movie too, Santana? No, he was asking what my favorite, not like what are some of your favorites. You had to just list one. And I was going through it, and I came to kind of a couple, and then he mentioned one to me, and I had to agree with him, and I think this is it. Are you ready for my favorite movie of all time?
Okay, what is it?
What do you think it is? What would you say your guess is to my favorite movie?
I mean, you like those Chevy Chase movies. I don't know why I want to say Fletch, but
you're wrong.
Okay.
You're wrong.
Okay.
You have one more guess.
One more guess. I don't know. I have a hard time. Not The Shawshank Redemption.
No, although that's the top five for me.
Okay.
My favorite movie of all time is Bad News Bears. And our son brought up a very good point, which is really true. First of all, it's very funny. It's got enough of a serious element to it in terms of the story. I think the cast is fantastic. The lines in there are amazing. Just everything. I mean, it's about baseball, which I love. So I had to, you know, when he was mentioning it, I was like, yep, that's probably got to be it. Like, I could watch Bad News Bears countless number of times.
Just like as much as I can watch Seattle.
Hold on a second. Now, I don't want you to say, like, oh, no, I love this movie. Like, you have to pick one. To pick one movie that is your favorite movie of all time, which one is it going to be? You're on the clock. Which one?
This is a tough one. But I think he called it, I think it's Steel Magnolias.
Steel Magnolias?
Yeah. Because it just was such a great cast. And I mean, every single one of them, I love it. I just love that movie.
Okay. Well, So now everybody out there knows our favorite movies are Steel Magnolias and
Vanity Fair. I just love it. You know what it is? I love Julia Roberts. I love Sally Field. Like, I just, there's certain people that I just.
Yeah, so that's, so what else do you have going on today?
I got work to do. I got
to
figure out.
Are you going into the office?
I think I am.
Are you flooding down or not?
Yeah, I'm going to see how the weather is. If it's too scary, I won't go, but I think I'm going to try.
Okay.
And,
I got a couple of meetings later on today, assuming that the car can make it down the hill.
Okay.
And I got to find out whether or not Yonkers is open for business.
Okay, and then we have a game tonight. Maybe.
Yes, there is a game tonight, maybe, unless they close down the temple as well. So I'm not sure on that.
All right, well, on that note, thanks for stopping by.
Stay classy.